You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And lift off here on a Thursday afternoon. Welcome in. Glad you're with us. A long couple hours ahead, and we'll have a number of important guests. So thank you very, very much for being here. A number of things are going on, and we will update you. A couple of guests will drop by. We have Seth Emerson joining us in just a minute to talk about the Dogs. Big night of basketball last night. I mean, they were just blowout city. So much conversation about South Carolina at Auburn, and Auburn just absolutely destroys the Gamecocks. Tennessee with a big win. We're going to go to calls a little bit early today at 855-242-7285, and then we'll start loading up the guests, some very interesting guests on tap on this Thursday afternoon. And who gets the honor of being the first caller? Want to take a guess, Randy? Did you say Swamp Dog for 100, Alex? That's what we said, and Swamp Dog is in here first.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Hello.
How you doing? Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about the way the schedules have been since they had divisions, you know?
Yes, sir.
I know Georgia always plays Auburn. I know the crossover thing, how it works. They play Auburn every year, and they rotate between the rest of the West, you know? I don't remember Texas A&M and Georgia ever playing each other.
They did, because I remember being at the game. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I remember a late November game. I distinctly remember that.
Okay, but I can recall them playing Arkansas and Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU, but I just can't remember them playing at Texas A&M. I don't know why.
Well, you obviously missed it, because I don't remember every game, but they played in 2019.
Okay. Well, I was just curious, and they're not playing each other this year either. I seen the schedule. They're not playing each other this year. I don't know if there's any reason behind that or not, but, you know.
And by the way, Georgia won that game 19-13. It was a pretty good game. Georgia
19-13.
Yeah, it was really a good game. That's when Jimbo Fisher hadn't quite lost his mojo.
Right, yeah. He was still a good guy back then, huh?
Well, I don't. First of all, he was never a good guy. He was a better coach.
Well, let me ask you something else. Have you tried your karaoke thing lately? None of that.
No, I have not done that. Hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Bash is up next. Good afternoon, Bash.
Bash, brother Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Bash. Randy, roll tide to you, sir.
By the way, for the record, Bash, Randy is not an Alabama fan.
I know, but he always responds to me, so it's
Well, that's
nice.
Just because he feels sorry for you.
Why would he feel sorry for me? I'm an Alabama fan who lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, that's why he feels
sorry for
you.
I appreciate the sympathy.
Yeah. Well, who are you a fan of, Randy?
Sorry for me, Paul.
Randy grew up in Winston, North Carolina. I don't think he really cares about the Tide.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're
Bash,
right.
Bash,
I mean,
get to your
North
point,
Carolina,
okay? We only have 4 hours here today.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'll just respond to what you were saying. But I just wanted to offer an idea that yesterday was presented about Legend's UFC cage matches that he has been trying to get scheduled for some of these callers. I wanted to ask you a question, Paul, that you alluded to a couple months ago. Is your former agent Nick Khan?
Yes.
The president of the $21 billion entity known as TKO, correct?
That is correct. You're 100% right about that.
Wouldn't he be the perfect one to get these UFC cage fights scheduled initially?
He probably would. He knows me, knows the show, knows Randy. Did Nick represent you too, didn't he, Randy?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, he was my first agent, and he was my agent until he left about 3 years ago to go to WWE.
Do you guys still talk to each other? Do you just keep in touch?
Yeah,
or
a little bit.
I mean,
I've sent him some encouraging notes during the Vince McMahon deal, and he seems to be suffering all the way to the bank.
Oh, suffering all the way to the bank. You think he's going to be coming ahead of this controversy?
Well, I mean Nick has gone from vice president to president. I think he's doing okay.
Agreed, but there is still the rumors of the allegation that anyone that's connected to
those allegations, I think, predate Mr. Khan's arriving at WWE.
I would agree with that. In my opinion, I think him and Ari have been orchestrating this hostile takeover to be to bring the two companies together to be like, all right, we're going to take the McMahons out and we're going to take over this company going forward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the other side of that adventure is pretty powerful.
Well, with $21 billion behind and a new $5 billion Netflix deal, it's kind of hard to see where does the ceiling is held at that point. And I have to be honest, Paul, you being a client of the man that orchestrated all kind of makes you a celebrity by association. But I still think that if there is a possibility that me and Legend can get scheduled in a cage match, I think
you're what? How old are you, Bash? You're in your 20s? Are you 20 yet?
Yes, I am in my 20s. Correct, sir.
Are you in what type of physical condition are you in?
I live in Colorado, Paul, so you already know I'm in good shape.
Well, I ask all that because to get in the ring with Legend, you better be in more than good shape.
You have seen that man's face, right? That doughboy.
I know Legend pretty well. I've been around Legend a number of times. We've had lunch together. We have dined together. Bash, it's not really a matter of whether you would win the cage match. It's really a matter of whether you would survive.
Would I survive? I would, Paul. This is the same association that you had with me and Jim, saying if I were to go in a feud with him, he would decapitate me.
He would.
Let me explain something to you, Paul. The only decapitation that would occur is me biting Jim's head clean off his body and shoving it up his ass where it belongs. And the same thing is going to happen if Legends crosses me one more time and calls me rash and has anything disrespectful to say about my Denver Broncos. Because where does he get off, Paul, when he is an Indianapolis Colts fan? You know, he has so much nerve to talk about John Elway and Peyton Manning. He needs to get over and realize Peyton Manning left the Indianapolis coach almost 15 years ago and hasn't been back there ever since.
I have to tell you this, Bash. I'm impressed with your fight here today. I didn't know Bash. I think the key to Bash is just, get him upset. I mean, Bash, I'm impressed. Keep going.
Well, thank you, Paul. I've been hanging around in the bubble for all this whole week. I'm tired of it.
I mean, Bash, while we have a second here, let me give you some advice. When you get on the phone tomorrow, whenever you call next, dispense with the preamble, okay? Get right to the meat. Just get right to it.
Well, if there's anything about me, Paul, I like to get right to it.
Well, I know, but
and
you always seem like you got to, clean out your bong first and, pour the water out. Just go, man.
I live in Colorado.
I know where you live.
Some days.
I know. I've been there.
Well, like I said, you and Randy and the whole Paul Fonmine crew can come anytime you want to, and I will welcome you with open arms.
Well, that is very kind of you, Bash, and you take care of yourself. Frank is up next. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, I was going to tell you, I heard you, probably been two or three months, I've tried to call. I can't get in But you were talking about a movie about Pat Dye.
Documentary.
Alabama Public Television has a show called Mighty, The Life and Legacy of Pat Dye. Have you ever seen it?
Well, I think that's the one we're talking about.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you knew about it, but it's...
Well, no, I do. Well, the reason I know about it is they flew up here and interviewed me for it. That's how I know about it.
Okay. Yeah, but he raised those Japanese maple trees.
Yeah,
and,
right.
It's quite interesting. I met you a long time ago. You remember when the Birmingham News had that article out of the Alabama Gang book?
Yeah, I do.
I bought one of them, and I met you when I was walking in to go buy that book.
Oh, did you really?
Ago.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah. All right, that's what I'm
saying. Hey, well, thank you for
about.
The call, Frank. You be well. I'm glad to have met you a number of years ago. You take care of yourself. Was that Randy?
Don't say it. Just take one more.
Okay. Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. This is Jeff. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hey there, Jeff.
Just curious. They're talking about having nil for high school football here in Alabama. And I was just curious on, you know, what your take is, you know, and what do you think the effect might have?
Well, I think there's already stuff that goes on under the table. I'm not opposed to it. At this point, they're going to get the money anyway. They might as well start getting it at a young age. I don't think that money is really, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Hey, thanks so much for the call. I do appreciate it. We head to the break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Absolutely.
And we have Seth Emerson coming up here in a few minutes, and then Joe Pompliano and Brendan Steenbergen. What did I hear there from the peanut gallery? Oh, a lot of humps. John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. And did you remember to take the sales sticker off your box of candy last night?
I did. Unfortunately, there was another one underneath saying half price.
Hey, Paul, I've got three quick items. I'm not like Bash. By the way, put Bash on a timer.
By the way, here's what I want to do with Bash in the future, John. Let's say we go to Bash at 3:15. My suggestion to the producers is get Bash on the horn at 3:10 and just say you're on the air. And by the time we get to him, we might actually have gotten to close to a point.
Yeah, get the preamble out of the way. Yeah. You're right. Three quick things. I'm going to move the breakup of Taylor Swift and Trevor Kelce from 6 months to 6 weeks. Yeah, he showed up to that celebration last night, stone cold drunk, yeah, couldn't talk.
He's a loser.
Slurred his song, and then he goes out and does selfies and parties after
the
shooting.
I think she's smarter than we are. I think she's, you know, she's got a couple of really great breakup songs. One of my favorites. She has two or three that are just classic songs. I think she's looking for another one, and she's about to have it.
Yeah, he went from meathead to clueless and classless. This second item, Ohio State, I don't think they're all that. I mean, they hire Ross Bjork, and he's the same guy that extended Jimbo's contract and embarrassed Mark Stoops, and now they fired their coach, basketball coach, and they're going to owe $12 million. I think they're heading the wrong direction. I mean, to me, Ohio State reminds me much of the LIV Golf Tour. Not quite the best, but we'll pay you crazy money to come and play there. And finally, the CFP vote coming up on the 20th. And it appears to me that the Washington State University board member, is extorting money from them. He agrees with the 5-7 format that's needed, but apparently they want to.
By the way, that same guy, that president of Washington State, he's the one that killed the 12-team playoff going to this past season. Remember?
You're right. You're absolutely
right.
His
name is Schultz.
And, yep, Schultz. That's his name. The
Schultz-y,
president.
I call him.
And yeah, and they're going to get $5 to $6 million as a Power Five member the next 2 years under the CFP. To me,
I don't mind them getting the money. I just don't want to see them in the playoff.
Right. I mean, they're like two orphans, them and Oregon State. They're out there floating in the Pacific, and they're being foster cared by the Mountain West this next season. And apparently they want to extend it beyond the 2 years. They want to keep collecting money like a Pac-12 member beyond the 2 years.
Absurd. I mean, just simply beyond comprehension.
Have a good show, Paul.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Al in Memphis. Hello, Al.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Al. Always good.
I got one quick question. Well, not a question, but a comment. If Ohio State fires their basketball coach, LSU needs to fire theirs. I mean, recruit a kid that can't even hit the goal from 3 feet away.
I mean, they've had a few embarrassing losses.
They're embarrassing every time they get on the floor. I mean, these kids, I mean, I don't understand how you can't hit an open shot. They throw passes away, and nothing's changed. This coach has not tried to change anything. So that's my comment. That's the guy that needs to go. Have a good day, Paul. Talk
to you later. Al, I mean, we're more than happy to hear calls, but I mean, there are a couple of programs right now that are really struggling. A couple of them are really doing great. That Auburn game was really interesting yesterday, because Auburn was a team that has really been at times erratic. For a team that a lot of us thought maybe it was a Final Four team a couple of weeks ago, but man, last night they emptied out that place. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Jose in Kentucky. Hello, Jose.
Hello. How's it going, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, as you know, you've been the source of my college football news since I was a kid. Big fan. I just have a quick question. Do you think that with the college playoff expanded to 12 teams that Kentucky's football program, which has been decently relevant, I guess, in the last few years, do you see them anyway making it into the 12-team playoff?
No, I don't.
So you don't think that they're?
Well, I mean, hey, Jose, tell me this. Give me some reason to believe that this program is going to elevate itself to that type of level, which means you have to go 9-3 or 10-2 to get in.
Right.
Did you see anything last year that would make you believe that?
Definitely not last year. But the couple
they have a really good quarterback coming in, but they've also lost the coordinator. I mean, I have been burned so many times trying to buying stock in Mark Stoops.
Right. What about that kid though from Georgia
Well, no, I did. Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt. He's an elite quarterback, but it depends on really how he's coached. Cone leaving is a big blow, but I think Kentucky just needs to have a good season before they start worrying about the playoffs. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Darren is up next. Hello, Darren.
Oh, hey, Paul. Thank you. I tried to speak to you on Tuesday, but it came up to a break, and I couldn't finish my call, and I understand that. But my main point was I didn't like what I-Man had to say on that particular day. Obviously, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I had said to you that, you know, I know Auburn players and stuff and this, that, and the other, but do you remember a name called Ed West? Green Bay Packers called him the Toolbox.
Sure, I remember Ed.
Yeah, well, I mean, he went to school with me too. So my big thing is I mean, there's a story about Ed West that I just wanted to share with you. Back in the day, Bear Bryant came to look at him at school, believe that or not. Bear actually drove up to Cobber County High School in Leighton, Alabama, had a look at him and said, I don't like his knees. And he walked away, and Pat Dye gave him a scholarship to Auburn. And then he went on to play 14 years in the NFL. Ain't that a trip?
That is amazing. That's quite extraordinary. Hey, thank you much for the call. We have a guest coming up in a minute. We are going to take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. This is the time that we thought we would be talking about that three-peat from the University of Georgia, but we all know a little funny thing got in the way. The headline is, will it really be Georgia and everyone else in 24? So we're right back to where we started. Seth Emerson joining us. Seth, first of all, good to have you back on the show. What has it been like since we last saw Georgia? I think I turned it off at 75-3 against Florida State. Maybe I missed a couple of touchdowns, but what's going on in Georgia land?
You know, not too much. Some assistant coaching changes. There was the Caleb Downs saga. But all in all, it's just kind of settled back into, well, it stunk not to win it all, but they're going to be preseason number one again. And I think, Paul, some kind of realization about what schedule is going to be this year and how difficult it's going to be, and kind of processing all the changes that are going to be happening in general in college football and where Georgia fits in that. But they return their starting quarterback. They return a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Relatively, unscathed by the portal is a term that I'll throw out, in the sense of players that were going to be important key pieces this year. And added some good players in the portal. So they feel good about where they are, but they also have been in this position before, being a preseason number one and having these expectations. So that part's not going to be anything like new or put them in awe of anything.
And Seth, you mentioned some coaching changes. The one I am curious about is Scott Cochran, who made such big headlines when that hire was made 3 or 4 years ago. Can you take us through the timeline? We know he left briefly for some personal issues. He came back, but in the end, how would you evaluate that pickup from the Alabama staff that is now over with?
Well, go back. It was 2020, before the pandemic hit, I believe, when he left Alabama as strength and conditioning coordinator, come to Georgia as an on-field coach, special teams coordinator. He was with the program for a year, and then he left for personal reasons, and he tweeted it out. I don't think he ever gave any interviews about it, but he tweeted out about being later 1 year sober. So, you know, you feel comfortable saying that that was that he went away for that reason. But when he came back to the program the last couple of years, he was off the field. He still carried officially the special teams coordinator title, but I think what we've all learned in college football is that most programs, everybody chips in on special teams. And so he was doing some off-field stuff, but I think ultimately over the last couple of years, he didn't have probably as big a role as maybe he envisioned. And I'm not sure really, Paul, where he goes now. He might be taking some time off, or he might be looking for another job. The release yesterday about him and Daryl Dickey, who was an offensive analyst last year, said that both resigned to pursue other opportunities. So maybe we'll see them pop up somewhere else.
So let's talk about this program, because we're so used to Georgia being at the top of the food chain, Seth. I know we've kind of moved on from the SEC championship game, but how much angst is there, or is there any over that opportunity getting away from Georgia, not obviously being in the playoffs when everybody was just so certain they would be?
Angst, definitely, in the sense of there's a lot of confidence that if they had gotten in the playoff that they would have done some damage. That 2 years ago, in pretty much the same exact situation, they did that. They rolled over Michigan, and then they beat Alabama when they got another shot at them. But this time, they didn't get another shot. And I don't hear much from Georgia fans saying they deserve to get in the playoff. I think there's the vast majority understand they did not. They did not deserve one of the best four. I think the angst is from losing that game and from being 1 year earlier, the playoff coming 1 year late for them, that they would have gotten in a 12-team playoff, and a lot of people probably would have made them one of their favorites to go ahead and win it. But it's not an angst level of, say, 2012, losing that SEC championship game, or 2018. I think having those two titles to lean on and no longer having that 41-year drought to end takes a lot of that angst level out.
And Seth, on that point, it has been analyzed to death the effect, what it means of Nick Saban leaving. But from the Athens view, what does it mean that Saban is gone?
You know, I think because they beat him once, there's not this like, oh, he left before we had a chance to beat him. But the most recent game, they did lose to him. So there's probably more gladness. Is that a word, Paul? Did I make one up?
Gladness? I think it's a good one, by the way. I like it.
Yeah. There's probably gladness, quote unquote, that it happened. And I think people are more, you know, people in this world are more forward-looking than backward-looking. They're not reflecting on the Georgia versus Saban era and all the games. They're looking towards what it means for 2024 and going forward, especially since Georgia does go to Tuscaloosa. And I think because of Saban's retirement and what Alabama lost as a result in the portal, that a lot of people have more confidence in Georgia's ability to win that game in Tuscaloosa than they did before. So I think they're looking at it from that standpoint, and there's more confidence going forward that maybe Alabama will take a hit, and it will not be the Alabama that was a recruiting juggernaut the way it was under Saban. We shall see. Kalen DeBoer, it's too early to say.
Seth, you will be very pleased to know that gladness is not a word I've ever heard before, but it is actually a word.
Okay. Well, I can win Scrabble against my wife next time by using that.
We're talking to Seth Emerson here. Seth, just in terms of the schedule, and everybody has seen it a million times now, obviously the game at Alabama, the game at Texas, are those the ones the dog fans are gnawing on right now? Kentucky early, I don't know, that has not proven to be that big of a juggernaut. Other than that, I guess November 9th at Ole Miss looks rather ominous. What's the view of the schedule?
Well, the Texas game is gnawing at people's bank accounts because the prices for that weekend are ridiculous. As soon as that date was leaked, I believe Chris Lowe at your network got it first. Georgia fans started going online and realizing that the prices are through the roof in Austin, particularly since there's a Formula One race in Austin that weekend. I'm still waiting to make my tickets when prices go down. If anybody else sees that, let me know the right time to make mine. But, yeah, I think Kentucky is interesting because Brock Vandegrift and Jamon Dumas Johnson transferred there. So one of the former five-star quarterback that was a potential Georgia starting quarterback at one point is going to be Kentucky starter, and then a guy who was a key defensive piece for a couple years is going to be at Kentucky. But it's interesting. Texas, I think, is clearly, people would say, the hardest one right now. You wonder if Alabama and Ole Miss have flipped, where what Ole Miss did in the portal and what we talked about with Alabama and what they had lost, whether Georgia fans regard as Ole Miss as the harder game. I do think that a lot of Georgia fans, I think, are also appropriately recalibrating their expectations because of the schedule. Recalibrating, I'm pretty sure that also is a real word, but I did not use that as grammar. Yeah. But there is an understanding that 10-2 with that schedule might actually be pretty good and probably would be good enough to get in the 12-team field. And that a lot of people, when you talk about the mentality of the Georgia fan base, and when I talked earlier about kind of processing all the changes in college football in the SEC this year with expansion and the new schedule, is that the playoff expansion came at the right time for Georgia as far as its schedule. Because with those three road games, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas, if Georgia can win one of them, they still need to go 9-0 in the rest, which you never know. You never know what might – I mean, no one knew Missouri was going to be as good. And Missouri, thankfully for Georgia, is not on their schedule. But there's a lot of exciting thoughts. I think also after the last year or two, I think people are happy about the schedule. I think people are happy about being able to go these places. They didn't get to go to Oklahoma last year. Georgia fans are antsy for some good trips, and they definitely are getting them.
Great stuff as always, Seth Emerson. We appreciate it. My gladness level is at an all-time high for you having graced us this afternoon. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back, and Robbie is up next. Good afternoon, Robbie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I really enjoy your show. I've been a long-time listener, and wondered, you're a great storyteller, and I wondered if you had any Mobile, Alabama sports stories. I know we're famous for Mardi Gras and, you know, fishing, Jimmy Buffett, Forrest Gump, all that, but as far as sports goes, I bet you've got some good stories, maybe about, you know, I don't know, anybody from Hank Aaron to Kenny Stabler or Julio Jones. I just love hearing about stuff, not just Mobile, but down here, you know, along the coast. And
yeah, you know, I think what people don't understand, and I've spent a lot of time in and out of that town, is you mentioned it. I mean, you got so many great ball players from down there, but you have to start with Hank Aaron. I mean, he's one of the two or three most famous baseball players of all time, and one of the great examples and what he went through in chasing Babe Ruth's record in 1973 and ultimately breaking it the next year is pretty amazing. But I guess Kenny Stabler to me might be the all-time character. This is going to sound crazy, but probably the most famous Kenny Stabler story involves someone from my former profession, a sports writer. There was a guy named, you ever heard the story, Rand? A guy named Bob Padecki. I think this is the late 70s, who covered Stabler out in the Bay Area. And this guy came down to Mobile to do a hit piece on Kenny. And as you know, Robbie, Kenny had a few friends on the beach down there in Gulf Shores. And this sports writer, all of a sudden, I can't remember whether he was in his hotel or in his car, but the police stop him and find cocaine on his possession. By the way, clearly planted by the police on the behest of one of Stabler's friends or Stabler himself. And it became a national story when the guy accused Kenny of trying to get him arrested for possession of cocaine. But by the way, it's not like just making one phone call. You get arrested in Gulf Shores, Alabama for cocaine back in 78 or 79, and you're down there to hurt Kenny Stabler. You're not exactly getting out of jail quickly. So it took a while, but I had a run-in with Kenny not long after that. I was scared to death because I went to his. By the way, I'm trying to remember who. Craig Stevenson did a piece on this for the Mobile Press a couple of years ago. I went to Kenny Stabler's football camp at Marion, Alabama. Probably my first assignment as a sports writer, and I mean, everybody was drinking. There was women everywhere. This was at a military school. And I interviewed Kenny's girlfriend I'll try to keep this as clean as possible, but just imagine you're the Super Bowl MVP, you're Kenny Stabler, you got the long hair, you got the reputation. Just try to imagine a young lady being with Kenny Stabler. I mean, we're not talking about the girl next door, okay? So I got a hold of Jackie. Jackie was her name, and did an interview with her. And Kenny found out about it. And the next day, he walks in and says, "You come with me right now." And I said, "Okay, what do you need, Kenny?" And he like put me up against the wall. He said, "You keep your hands off my girlfriend." I said, "Kenny, I was just interviewing her." He said, "You get anywhere near her again," he said, "and you'll regret it the rest of your life." I'm like going, "Okay." I just wrote that down in my notebook as soon as I walked away. And I went back and did a hit piece on Kenny Stabler, which Kenny never understood that the media had the last word. That's why that whole debate about him being in the Hall of Fame was so classic. And it ended up that his attorney, Henry Pitts, who I later became close friends with from Selma, he threatened to sue us. And as a young reporter, that's actually a big deal when somebody threatens to sue you. But anyway, I know I'm going way off base here, Robbie, but look, the reason is I could tell you 100 stories about that area, but those are two that come to mind.
Well, those are two of the best. We ran into Kenny Stabler once. He needed to borrow some money. He brought us that famous sports painting of him as a quarterback by, I think, Nimroth or somebody. And we lent him some money, and then he forgot he gave it to us. We had to track him down years later. to get his painting back to
No, him. He's. I mean, I got to know Kenny as he got older. I got to know him. We ended up sitting next to each other on a flight one day. We were going to play in a charity golf tournament honor that Mike Gottfried, from who used to live down in Mobile, put on. And he really, he told me the story. This might be my favorite Kenny Stabler story. He told me a story about the Raiders were playing the Jets. And his teammates always would alibi for him to, during bed check. I mean, he was out with some woman, obviously. And he called, I'm trying to remember who he called. He called one of his teammates about 6 or 7 in the morning. They were playing at Shea Stadium. He said, just bring my stuff to the stadium. I'll meet you there. Kenny, like, all night drinking, carousing with this young lady in New York, went from her apartment straight to the game. Never slept. And I think he had like 3 touchdowns and the Raiders won the game. It didn't matter. Kenny didn't need sleep. He didn't need a shower. He didn't need to sober up. He just needed the ball.
That's great. Well, I won't keep your time, but I'm glad you mentioned Hank Aaron, because I did meet Hank a couple of times, and he was not just a great baseball player, but he was really somebody who, as far as the times he grew up being after
no, he's one of the
American,
Robbie, one of the all-time people. Really, hey, thank you so very much. Really enjoyed it. Appreciate it. We'll take a short break. We are coming back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.